Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
Books. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gluckos in the Berg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and welcome to Bookworm. My guest, George Tolles, has written his first full-length book of criticism. It's a book about the film director Paul Thomas Anderson, the director who gave us, among other things, Boogie Nights and Magnolia, Punch Drunk Love, There Will Be Blood, and The Master. That would be, in a sense, good enough. But George is a reader and film writer who I've been talking to since I was an undergraduate. We've been talking for, that would be 40 or 50 years.
50.
50. And it's a real pleasure to have him on the show, especially because both George and I have among the funniest, most unradio-worthy voices that you can think of. George is one of the most insightful people I've ever met, the most articulate, and best of all, unusual and strange of mind. I would put in parentheses here, I hope like me. Now, George, first of all, why Paul Thomas Anderson?
Well, Justice Neyland, who teaches at Michigan State University, sent me an email letting me know that there was interest in my submitting a proposal for the Contemporary Film Director series. And Anderson was someone that I loved with fervor, but did not feel I understood. I felt his films were beautiful, but complicated in ways that would defeat my usual bag of tricks. So I took it on so I could find out how to clarify the nature of my own attachment to him.
The Contemporary Film Directors series includes books, about Agnes Varda, about Coppola, names famous and infamous, Jerry Lewis, Adam McGoyan, Terrence Malick, and now, most recently, Paul Thomas Anderson by George Tolles. The fact is, I did not respond to Paul Thomas Anderson very well, and if George had not written a whole book about him, I wouldn't have gone back to him. But George has, I would say, perfected and maybe even invented a way of reading films so that he's going with you through full sequences, often shot by shot, and he's breathing over your shoulder until you can't fail to see, I'd say, the thing that he's suggesting. And the thing that he's suggesting in this book on Paul Thomas Anderson is that Paul Thomas Anderson is unique in not being particularly interested in coherence and cause and effect, that the films become more and more interesting from the point of Magnolia, where you get things like A Rain of Frogs suddenly in a realistic narrative that remains more or less unexplained. In that same movie, one song becomes the central point for the emotion of 11 characters, a song called Wise Up by Amy Mann. And George takes us through each of these 11 characters to show how the song illuminates their resolve, their sorrow, their lack of direction. And this was the most interesting thing to me. George found that lack of direction was essential to the characters in Paul Thomas Anderson. In other words, he's a director who's very contemporary. Just think, how many people, young people, do you know who have a sense of direction? I know we're supposed to, but in most of our lives, it falls apart. So these are films that show the viewer how things fail to move forward, how emotional stymie becomes a constant, and George has found the language for narrative strangulation. Now, my question, I saw what you meant, but what makes you like such a thing?
I guess it has to do with the contours he gives to aloneness and estrangement, while at the same time pushing so hard for kinds of connection that at first seem peculiar and unfathomable, but on closer acquaintance seem extremely recognizable. And the quality of aloneness and the attempted remedies for the different dilemmas of these, in each case, in the three films that I mainly concentrate on, Punch Drunk Love, There Will Be Blood, and The Master, how the potentially very uninteresting question of how lonely am I becomes me an extraordinary basis for a world of meaning.
Well, the thing that made me practically drop the book is when George does an analysis of the following exchange. We're talking about Punch Drunk Love, and the character played by Adam Sandler, Barry, says, looking at his girlfriend or girlfriend-to-be, I'm looking at your face and I just want to smash it. I want to smash it with a sledgehammer and squeeze it. You're so pretty. And the woman says, without any pause, I just want to chew your face and scoop out your eyes and want to eat them and chew on them and suck on them. Well, this is a love exchange is extraordinary. And what it says to George, who I'm quite sure is right, is that these two characters can accept each other's anger without being frightened by it, that they're able to be essentially on the verge of the language of a tantrum and express it lovingly and be accepted by one another, and that this, in a sense, becomes the motif for There Will Be Blood and by all of the characters in Paul Thomas Anderson, who, it turns out, would rather be alone.
Maybe not in life, but in his well-fortified imagination.
Now, what I realized as I read this book, Paul Thomas Anderson, by my guest George Tolles, which is part of the University of Illinois Modern Director Series, Paul Thomas Anderson has hardly been neglected. His films are respected by the critics. From the very beginning, he seems to have an unearthly sense of putting the camera where no one else would think to put it, and always in an interesting place for revelation. And they all talk about how, like Howard Hawks say, these are communities of men who are busy alienating the women in their presence while trying to conciliate a lost or distant father. Well, George, of course, being antithetical, says it's not the father, it's not the distant father, it's the absent mother that these films are about, the loss of the maternal impulse. The films contain within them references to this maternal figure, not always necessarily a mother. And when Paul Thomas Anderson talks in interviews, there's a composite interview at the end of the book taken from all of the places where Paul Thomas Anderson has spoken. His relationship to his own mother, Edwina, is something he goes out of his way to avoid, not to speak about, although one hears that it was not a pleasant relationship.
Certainly not early on.
Right. Now, we all, as intellectuals and as interpreters, want to begin from a point where no one else has gone. It makes things easier. Had you known this about Anderson from initial viewings?
Punch Drunk Love, which was the film which made me think that Anderson wasn't merely an impressive director, but a director I had to keep close. I was overwhelmed by it. And that was the film which I said, I've got to figure out what the emotional geography of this film means in relation to my incredibly strong experience of it. And it's a little embarrassing to say that, I mean, I puzzled over the harmonium and Lena for a good long while before the word mother popped out of the toaster. Well, the answer to the question, which I suppose anyone watching this film unsympathetically would have, is why would Lena, on what grounds would Lena take Barry on so unconditionally? And it seemed to me that the mother phenomenon began to just flourish in relation to this peculiar but going the distance attachment in ways that made me start wondering in the same way about other Anderson films, which eventually led me back to Magnolia, which I confess, again with some embarrassment, I not only didn't understand it, I didn't like it. In fact, was deeply angry at the film the first time that I saw it. And all of a sudden, Amy Mann, the song Wise Up, just gave me the key to the castle.
Wow. I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to Bookworm from the studios of KCRW. I'm talking with George Tolles, an analyst of film, about his full-length book, Paul Thomas Anderson. We'll continue after this short break. I'm Michael Silverblatt, this is Bookworm, and I'm talking with George Tolles about his latest book, Paul Thomas Anderson, an examination of the contemporary film director who brought us Punch Drunk Love and There Will Be Blood and The Master. Now, what do you call this thing you do? Film analysis? Film reading? What is the nature?
I've never been unsympathetic to the old-fashioned phrase close reading. For the longest time, it seemed in the academy, the thinking was that you learn to do close reading in first year and then you go on to other things.
Theory.
Yes, I've never gone on to other things, but to get perhaps more interestingly to the substance of your question, I start with Stanley Cavell's very important injunction that we take an interest in our experience of the work of art, that that's an honorable thing to do. With film, I think it's a matter of reclaiming one's first experience with no avoidance of the confusion and the questions. And the more basic the questions, the more obvious the questions, the better, it seems to me. And then it's a matter of looking close at sights and sounds in their puzzling consonance and discord until your experience turns into a kind of dream, a dream that is faithful to the particulars, but in some hard-to-explain sense transcends language.
Now, George and I share an admiration for Stanley Cavell, who is a Harvard philosopher who doesn't distinguish his writing of philosophy from his writing about film. More than that, says in an extravagantly formative essay on Bringing Up Baby, the great screwball comedy that Howard Hawks directed with Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn. He says that it's the equal of late Shakespearean comedy. And he means it. He's not trying to just find an exaggeration to express his pleasure. He really demonstrates to us what late Shakespeare comedy does and what Bringing Up Baby does. And this essay is in a book called
Pursuits of Happiness.
Pursuits of Happiness. Oh, what a day that was. I read that essay in a journal on Bringing Up Baby, and I got so excited that I called George up. It's not a short essay.
Oh.
And I read it to him on the phone.
Yes. It only took 3 hours, I think.
At least. And but it changed both our lives.
Yes. And I have to say, no essay on film has ever made a more revolutionary impact in terms of just yanking at my lapels and saying, you want to begin too high up. You want to conceptualize before you've even begun to see what it is that mattered to you. And what matters to you in this game is adults playing children's games and how those children's games become the basis of a romantic seriousness at which frivolity
becomes serious.
Becomes serious.
Exactly. Now, tell me, tricky question that could be answered for days on end. Is it important that the insights that a critic or analyst or reader brings to a movie or a book be true or accurate?
Well, I think while you're writing, you feel that, I think you should feel that what you're saying is consequential enough that it's grazing against some imaginative truth. I mean, that a truth that takes hold of something large and far within you. I have to say that my whole almost automatic procedure involves getting so far inside a narrative, or at least imagining that that's where I'm getting, that I feel that I'm co-authoring it in the spirit of the writer, and that he or she is a kind of wonderful spirit guide to the things that plentifully bear on both of our experiences of life.
Well, this is relevant because George Tolles also, in addition to his teaching roles and his writing roles, has been the co-author of films by the very great and I think fascinating Canadian director Guy Maddin. And since those films do not want to offer explanations for much of anything, the going deep into the inside is an absolute necessity. In fact, I would say that while I'm reading George Tolles' writing about a film, there is no outside. The writing represents, in some strange way, a diary in which the things that are important or new or relevant to our time get referred to. So that in this book, there are references, among other things, to the work of Maggie Nelson, who just won a MacArthur Genius Award, to the marvelous poet Mary Ruffel in her comments about what metaphor is and how it works, to the sort of genius psychoanalyst Adam Phillips. If you want to know what you ought to be reading, you'll come upon a bibliography by reading an essay by George Tolles. Now, to what extent, George, are these books part of what you're reading, or are they crucial to the subject itself?
I try to read away from, as far away from the subject at hand as I can.
Yes, you're not going to find stories about what happened on the set.
No, but it's just, I want, because I think, in a way, the impasse is always at the point where things are beginning to settle into a pattern. And I grab a provocative piece of writing that, as far as I can tell, has nothing to do directly with the thing that I'm writing about, to shake me loose from that premature settling or consolidation, to just force another angle.
And so what we have in the essay about The Master is an essay about pattern breaking and about how a man who is so shaken up, the Joaquin Phoenix character, ends up having to break every pattern that's presented to him. He can't even go to the bathroom without attacking the toilet.
Right. And my argument goes a few steps further, suggesting that Paul Thomas Anderson, to adequately encompass and accommodate such a figure, must disrupt in every way possible the form of his narrative, risking incoherence, in fact, even driving toward incoherence every step of the way.
Yes, so by the end of the book, the technique of Paul Thomas Anderson in bringing in diverse materials mirrors your own in bringing in perhaps irrelevant materials that are made relevant by careful stroking, examination, poking, caressing, forming. I've been talking to George Tolles, the author of Paul Thomas Anderson. For years, I have had the good luck of discovering that my good friend, we met in college, turned out to be one of the great writers on literature and film. I've wanted him to be on my show for as long as I've had a show. I wanted you all to hear his passionate voice. Thank you, George Tolles, for joining me.
And thank you for allowing me to spend so many years trying to imitate the way you talk.
Could that be true? You can comment on today's show or read an excerpt from Paul Thomas Anderson at kcrw.com/bookworm. Download the podcast from kcrw.com or from iTunes. You can also listen on demand with KCRW's smartphone apps. My co-producer is the valuable Connie Alvarez. Alan Howard is my esteemed associate producer. The technical director is the brilliant Mario Diaz. Special thanks to Rabbi David Sobel, who isn't really a rabbi, but is a profound advisor. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms. I am a bookworm. We are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mayle of Sparks.
Read this, read that, read this, bookworm. Read this, read that, read this. I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm when Elif Batuman is our guest.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air, new music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.